Dog days of summer. So many folks missing, but it doesn't mean that our time with God isn't important, and it is. You're going to see your notes, and I'm not jumping right in on my notes. I'm going in a little bit of a different direction. Go to Matthew chapter 7. A couple times I will have to have us turn in our Bibles. We do have Bibles in front of you in your pews. A little bit inconvenienced, but it's okay. We'll make it. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. So this week, if you don't know, you will be finding out here soon. Last night I talked with Chris, the son of Billy May. Billy May has been on our prayer list for about 3 years. Since I came here, almost within a few months, she began to suffer with a cancer and some other ordeals. She did pass away last night, which when I went and visited her in the hospital this week, you get in that tough spot of she's not at the place that recovery is going to be best for her. And she is a believer, and I know she's with Jesus. And so she passed away, and just thinking about my sermon, thinking about lots of things, I came to the conclusion of a couple things. There's some folks that want hope and faith. But the thing is they want to feel good. See, Jesus comes to give us joy. And hope and faith, birthed from feel-good happiness, is not necessarily going to lead to your joy. Because joy is in the real truth. See, some people want truth. Some people just want to feel a certain way. Does that make sense what I'm saying to you? Jesus says this in chapter 7, Matthew 7, 24 through 27, says this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. As I think of 4th of July, as I think of our country, I'm mindful of Psalms 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who he has chosen as his heritage. Do you want truth or do you want to feel good? When I think of this verse particularly, I do not feel like our country is going in the right direction. What would be the direction that God would have for this country, his people? Matthew 6:33 says this, and the classic passage about anxiety. Why don't be anxious? Why trust God as he says, you're more clothed and beautiful, right? Then look at the flowers. And yet, I love the flowers. I've arranged them so beautifully. How much more valuable are you? As he talks about the birds and how I provide for them, how much more valuable are you? And he tells us not to be anxious, but he does say something at the very end. He says, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not your country's righteousness, not your perception of righteousness, his righteousness. That would be the part about our country and in the direction it's going that I'm really worried about. And all these things will be added to you. I feel anxious myself. What do we do? We are having this. We decided this weekend, a men's prayer breakfast, July 21st. You'll start seeing it announced here recently at 7:30 before church, before Sunday school. Because what do? Right? I can sit up here and say, I don't want to be like the media. Like, I'm not looking for something to make you worried, right? To get a certain reaction. I just want to hold on to what is true, what isn't true. What does the Bible say? 2 Chronicles, very famous verse, 7:14. If my people, right? If I, myself, you, yourself, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their lands. I learned something here this week. By the time 1815 had hit, the government had over 1,400 calls to the nation about prayer. 1,400 calls from the government for prayer by 1815. The nation said, pray. We don't do that anymore, but it used to. The foundations of this country were pray. Please pray. John Hancock, while he was governor of Massachusetts, 22 times called for prayer, fasting, and humility. And then would come back and ask us to pray for Thanksgiving. Well, God answered. Amen? Why am I saying this? The 4th of July, as we celebrate our freedoms in the greatest country throughout history, may we remember that the joys that we enjoy was due to God blessing our country. God blessed us. We have reaped the benefits of that joy because God has blessed us. So may we humbly pray for our nation. May we strive to change ourselves and thus hopefully help change our nation. That's where our hope lies. And may we beg for God's grace and enduring, patient love the Bible is full of that I'm about to preach on. There is hope coming. Faithful, enduring love that God would give us grace in the midst of turning on Him. But this part we're not going to like. We've been praying for Syria, right? India, North Korea. We're going to continue to pray for all these different countries. May we be willing to accept our future and be the Christ follower God has called us to be, no matter our circumstance, just as our brothers and sisters in Christ overseas demonstrate for us every week as we learn about them and pray for them. Maybe we be willing to say, if that's the direction, if that's where it's going, we'll still be the Christians God called us to be. Like the 18-year-old boy, that the radicals came in and said, I'm not denying my Christ. And what came? He lost his life over that decision. May we, as Christians, say, I'm a Christian. I believe in Christ. Whatever that means, it means what it means. Amen? Because our citizenship is not in here. Our citizenship is heaven, the kingdom of God. That's where I belong. Is that where you belong? Raise your hand if you belong in the kingdom of God. That is our kingdom. So as I go into a time of preaching, 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, so now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And let me tell you something. When you're on your deathbed, love is great, and that's why we believe in Jesus. That's why we put our hope and faith in Jesus. When you're on a deathbed, hope and faith are everything. Amen? Faith and hope are everything. And in eternity, there's ongoing love. I don't need my faith or hope anymore because I'm with Jesus. I've seen what I put my faith and hope in. Amen? So folks, let's pray. Father, we lift up our country. Some still claim and believe this is a Christian nation. I believe we're not a Christian nation. We're not pursuing you and your righteousness and your kingdom. And Father, I pray, God, that you would be God's people, that we would be emboldened, that the real church, the real believers of your word, would stop being silent and felt like we have to be silent based on our beliefs. But God, rather, we would be passionate about your word, not in a way of beating people over with our beliefs, but passionate about your word that we believe, that we hold to. Because God, we know you are our God. You are our hope. You are our faith. And nothing is our solid foundation outside of you and your word and what you taught. We don't want to put our faith in sand. We want to put our faith in a foundation, God, that you provide, that you paved. And so I pray for our nation. I pray for every one of us in this room, every person that claims to be a Christian, that there would be truth behind that belief. As we study your enduring love, God, may we look at our exact situation and recognize how your hand and your faithful and your loving and your enduring has been present. We thank you for every gift and blessing you give us, God. We don't deserve any of them, but you lavish them on us and we love you. We thank you. It's your name we pray. Amen. Got to get happy now, huh? Here's what I want to say. John 10:11 says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." There's one theme that always resonates in me personally throughout the Bible. You see it everywhere. Deuteronomy 31:7-8, Moses is talking to Joshua about him succeeding him. "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with the people into the land that the Lord has sworn to the fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. And it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Moses is about to die. He's about to be succeeded. And look what he's saying to the person succeeding him, right? He reiterates in Joshua 1:5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with you, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are," what's the word? "You're with me." The Great Commission, Matthew 28-20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, and behold, I am with you always." Let me reiterate it. To the end of age, to the very end, I am with you. Hebrews 13:5, in light of struggles and sins and persecution in that text that I'm taking this little part out of context, you'd have to go read the whole context to get the full picture. It says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." What is God saying? God promises us that our true shepherd, he will never forsake us. But the Bible never promises that there won't be hard times. In fact, the Bible almost always says it's coming. Inevitably, it's coming. But the promise is you have a good shepherd who will never leave you nor forsake you. And many in this room, your testimony is, "I forsake God. I wandered off, and the good shepherd never left me." Amen? How many could say that? I wandered. Period of my life, but God was always there with me. God was there, always there for me. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. He is dependable, and he will guide us through the worst of times. As the Psalmist 23 is saying, right? Valley is shadow of death. As Moses is facing death, "Fear no evil, for you are with me." Where is your faith? Where is your hope? Is it in the foundation of Jesus Christ? Here's the deal. Tragedies come your way. Your faith is proven. That's what happens. Tragedy comes my way. Issues come my way. Do I trust that, God, you're with me? That you are not going to forsake me? And why do I believe in that? Because I know who you are, God. You're the good shepherd. Amen? Some of you right now in this room, I know enough about the issues in this church and people's individual lives. Some of you feel like you're facing death. Some of you feel like, "I am in the valley. I am in the midst of this exact thing." So I reiterate to you what the Bible has said throughout consistently. The Bible has said, "I am always with you until the end of the age. I will never desert you." I hope, my prayer every time I get up in a pulpit and pray, is that Jesus Christ is your good shepherd. That you're putting your faith, you're putting your trust, you're putting your foundation in him, in his word, and what he's done on that cross. Amen? Because one important thing we have to hold to, and I believe, so this is an amazing passage of truth of scripture to me, one aspect of God's love, there's many aspects of God's love. One of the greatest attributes of God's love, as we read the pages of history throughout the Bible and all the failures of God's people, is this: God's enduring love, despite our sinfulness, despite our mistakes, despite failing God over and over and over. We have a history of the Bible that says God's enduring love, penned, written by David, who was a person who failed many times. And yet God did not even write him out of Jesus' history, put him knowingly into the history of the Bible. Amen? Because God loves you. It's his enduring love that makes us say, "I'm banking on that. I'm banking my hope and my faith on that truth and that kind of love." Amen? Psalm 136, let's read it, one of the greatest passages in Scripture. If you believe Jesus Christ is a good shepherd, sometimes Psalms are so beautiful because they repeat stuff over and over, because maybe you didn't get it the first time, maybe you didn't get it the second time, maybe you didn't get it the third time. So let me say it over and over and over, just as the Bible says, I am with you, over and over and over, beating out those thoughts that I'm worthless, God's not with me, I can't handle this, and God reminds you, no, you can't handle it, but I am with you. Amen? He says this, Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. That's going to be said a lot. Here we go. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. How about this? When we get to endures forever, would everybody in this church say endures forever with me? Cool? So I'm going to start in the beginning. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love give thanks to God, the God of gods, for his steadfast love. Give thanks to the Lord of lords for his steadfast love. To him who alone does great wonders for his steadfast love. To him who by understanding made the heavens for his steadfast love. To him who speaks out the earth above the waters for his steadfast love. To him who made the great lights for his steadfast love. The sun to rule over the days for his steadfast love. The moon and stars to rule over the night for his steadfast love. To him who struck down the firstborn in Egypt, we already talked about this, for his steadfast love. And brought Israel out from among them for his steadfast love. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love. To him who struck down great kings in his steadfast love. And killed mighty kings for his steadfast love. I don't even know. King of the Amorites for his steadfast love. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love. And give thanks and give their land as a heritage for his steadfast love. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love. It is he who remembers us in our low estate. It is he who remembers us in our low estate for his steadfast love. And rescued us from our foes for his steadfast love. He who gives food to all flesh and his steadfast love. Give thanks to the God of heaven for his steadfast love. Yeah. That was hard to do, wasn't it? Says it over and over and over and over. Why? Do you, huh? Yep. Are you like me? We know this, but knowing this sometimes doesn't dictate the actions and the way I think and the way I function. I'm sure you are. It's a human thing. What is the point? The point is, he's a good shepherd. He's always with us. What more could he do, as Paul eloquently says? What more could someone do for you than give their life up for you? What very thing could he do to make you believe it, that he is for you, other than giving his, what greater thing could God do? I built the entire nation, the world. I created everything. I made you the greatest of creation. I died for you. What more must I do for you to believe that I love you? For he is good, the God of gods, the ruler of lords. He does great things. He made the heavens and the earth and all things in it. The ruler of all of our days. He has shown himself to be for his people throughout all human history. The powerful God shown through many miracles, whom is generous to us. Our God who guides us. The God who remembers us in our distress. Our God, rescuer, provider. But don't miss the theme of that verse. Give thanks to God. As I said to you, when I'm talking about Hancock, who called for 22 things of prayer and fasting and humility, he also would come back and say, be thankful. Prayer, thankfulness, sir. Amen? Who in here in this room couldn't say, God, you have blessed me. You have blessed me abundantly. Do I have to sit here and look at the world versus our standing? Us historically are the greatest people that have ever walked the world in terms of security, in terms of invention, in terms of so many things, education. Amen? We are blessed. Despite the challenges or worries or anxieties about this nation, wherever we're going, I ask you to point towards God's enduring love for you. Amen? How do you endure whatever you may face? You have enduring love. Let me see my time. I'm not doing too bad. I thought I was doing really bad. So here's the question I want to explore. What are some great things that we love that due to loving so very much can lead to us being hurt? This was the weirdest sermon I've ever preached. I've rearranged the sermon 500 times. This was going to be my initial point, and it changed like five times. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Food, I mean, ice cream, candy, a ton of meat, all right, cheese, dairy, love these things. Spicy food, I remember a time going, when I was in East Texas, going to Tyler. I love, you know, when you go to a Thai place and you want spicy food, I'm the guy that's like, no, I want like real spicy food. Give me the five. Give me everything you got. Well, I recommend to you not to drive 45 minutes after doing that, okay? From experience with a deacon in the church, we had to stop three times at least. So I'm not ever doing that again. I'm going to be very careful where I am. But I love it. I love it. Spicy food, but it's bad for you. What about beans? Everyone jokes about it, but it's true. It's true. Amen? Love those things. Sports, investment of time, competitiveness. I mean, I'm a Texan fan. There's nothing worse than being a Texan fan. Because it's one thing to be a really bad team. It's a whole other thing to be the 9-7 every year, right? You're good, so you're fighting. You're like, we have a future. And then your wife looks at you and is like, ha, 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 ha. That's what happens in my household. My wife looks at me and laughs at me and loves the agony going on in me because I genuinely know we're not going to win. But I believe, I don't know why, and it's always the managers, the decisions we make all the time. It's like, what is going on? But yet, I love them. Amen? That's a great love. It's a great horror. But it's a great love. And we have Cowboy fans. So all we do is get to fight, 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 fight. At least they have championships. I know many of you understand that. Careers, companies, bosses, coworkers, people. Just this week, Food Town, I was going in there and I was talking to, I always ask the lady, how's your day? How's today going? And a couple times this week, I had someone say, oh, people. Customers are so rough. Can I say something to you as a believer? I know your day may be difficult. Trust me, there are really challenging people that walk through those lines every day, are jerks for no reason. Mad at a person that has nothing to do with their circumstances. Be kind. Just like your servers at where you're going. Be kind, okay? Because there are jerks they have to deal with every single day. How is your day going? What, Jenny or whomever. Well, I hope you have a better day. Just know, it's not you personally, it's jerks. Amen? As at every walk of life, we have those issues. Friends, even God's people, friends who have invested our lives in, with our as far back as childhood and high school, and people who are almost like family, right? In many ways, we can love things and it's going to hurt us. Family, parents, siblings, children, extended family, friends who are practically family. God, how about God? Unanswered prayers. Or prayers that receive an answer such as, no, not now. Maybe, just in time. My time, not your time. Right? Here's the reality of love. Love leads to the greatest joys in your life. Yet love can also lead to so much hurt. Is that true or is that not true? So an important truth is this. Almost all loves that we have in this life come along with the inevitable disappointments, heartaches, and sometimes personal wrongings. What are we as Christians to do with the reality that sin-filled, wrecked hearts and minds affect every single one of us? Well, every relationship that we had here on this earth, what do? We can choose to shut ourselves off. We can choose to isolate. We can choose to not be who God has called us to be, which will seriously limit our ability to be the body of Christ, the church God called us to be. Or positively, we can choose to trust in God and continue to grow and mature with the perfect, with God's perfect love for us in mind as we strive to better love others, which is a lifelong journey of growth. Amen? So we have a choice. And the beauty is God is our shepherd. God is the one that gives us this enduring, steadfast, amazing love demonstrated over and over and over. And we're all going to fail in many ways to be Jesus. And isn't that the call, though? I mean, every marriage counseling I've ever had with the men, it's your expectation is to be Jesus. Let's talk about submit. Okay, we can talk about submit, but your expectation is Jesus. Good luck. It's an ongoing. And so we see some verses that talk about love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. In heaven, faith and hope aren't needed because we've already arrived. And I mentioned that at the very beginning of my sermon with Billy May. She's arrived. Faith and hope is done. But as I say to you all the time, Ephesians 2:7, my favorite verse in all of Scripture, is that God promises ongoing kindness, ongoing love, ongoing goodness throughout the eternity. Right? Meaning, we're not done with just Jesus on the cross, and for eternity, we're just going to talk about Jesus on the cross for eternity. We will! But folks, it's ongoing and continued kindness of God's love for God's people, shown out, demonstrated. Amen? Through blessing after blessing. What has the experience of life thus far been? Blessing that we don't deserve. Enduring love in the midst of turning our backs on God, yet God still blesses us. Amen? And even when God steps in and judges, what is the purpose of judgment? That we might listen and change. Amen? That is why judgment happens. Sometimes we don't get that. It's like discipline in your son. It's for a purpose. That the relationship could be restored. But it's got to change. Amen? So folks, that's what love is. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. God has given us enduring love, and we are called to love. The way of love, hardest verse for me, is 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. When I'm in marriage counseling, one of the first things I say to people, do you know your vows? Chris can attest to this, right? What do your vows say? No, right? Rich or poor? Life or death? Are those significant or insignificant words that we are saying before people publicly? It's not a show. It's not actually a show. When you're saying your vows, you're saying, hold me to this. To everyone present, everyone hearing it, it is an invitation to being called out if you're not, right, going to stick it out. You said before God and many people until the end. One of the hardest things I've ever experienced in my life was in East Texas, and there's a lot more circumstances to it, but a man fell over. They had a lot of marriage problems already. He fell over and cracked his neck because a dishwasher was open, and it was just horrible circumstances, and he broke his neck, and he became paralyzed for the rest of his life. Within a week, his wife left him. And that was one of the hardest situations ever because I was actively trying to get involved and seek marriage counseling because at the end of the day, I knew like this marriage was falling apart, and that took place. But folks, I want to say to you right now, Love endures. Love tolerates. Love bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things. That's what real love is, and we're all going to be aspiring to trying to be that way. But the way of love, this is the hardest, most misunderstood part of love, and what I'm pointing you to is Jesus' enduring love as the great example. As the greatest example, read the history of the Bible. The history of the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, is we turn on him over and over and over. Read every prophet. And what happens? God had a plan in the beginning that God himself would come down and die for his people. He, as he is preaching, as we're reading the Old Testament, God had already predestined to come down himself and die for us. It wasn't like, might I do this? It was the plan from the beginning. As Adam and Eve fell, God already knew. Amen? I like to look at the Bible from the angel's angle. It's almost like a story from the angel's angle. God did not give grace to angels. They became demons. And God had a plan that he would give grace to us. And the Bible tells us you're the greatest of mankind. Greatest. That you don't even know what that means yet. And God loves you with such enduring love. It's unspeakable. It's unbelievable. And yet that is his love and his promise for eternity is I'm going to continue to shower you and show you the kindness of your God. Because I've created you to worship me. And God is not an ogre. God wants worship through freedom of us saying, God, we love you. We experience your kindness. We experience your goodness. We've experienced your love. And God, we trust you because of who you are and how you've been to us better than we deserve. Amen? Folks, I say that to you with this final things in mind. How many great testimonies have come from God's enduring patient love? Israel consistently through idolatry. What about Samson? Samson, man. God even lets him go out in the right way, even though everything he did, he deserved it. He came into, Samson is such a strange figure. He's like Jesus. That from the beginning, the Holy Spirit was already in him in the womb. And got supernatural strength. Like he's a rare person in all of Scripture. And yet God patiently endured all of the sinning the whole time through. And if Samson would have just looked at the history of all the judges, he'd have been like, you gave me the greatest example. Here's the deal. Deborah was the best in Judges, okay? But Samson was, oh man. What about Jonah? Racist. Hatred. No understanding of God loves you and gave you grace that you don't deserve. And God calls you to go do something hard and difficult. And what I know from studying Jonah is he had positive, being a prophet positively for a while, for a period of time. And so when God asked him to do something he didn't want to do, he didn't like it, we see the entire book, it ends, it just ends with, I want to die. That's how the book ends. I believe Jonah's in heaven with God. To his dying day, God endured him and loved him despite all the racism and the hatred. Not understanding that everything you have is because God gave it to you. Because the story of Israel is as if a king came by. And you see this in Ezekiel 33. I'm just going off the cuff right now. Ezekiel 33 was one of the greatest pictures in all of Scripture. It's as if someone tossed out a baby. Back in that time, there was a deformity. If there was an issue, they would just throw the baby out to die. They could care less about it and throw it out to die. There was a normal custom in that time. And God pictures it as, here's Israel. Among all nations, I come along this baby that's tossed out, deformity issues, and here comes the king, picks up that baby, and takes that baby in and says, I'm going to lavish you and love you. In fact, I'm going to marry you and make you the greatest of all things. That's the picture of Israel. You were tossed aside. You were nothing. They were in slavery. They had no hope outside of what? God. And yet God chose Israel and made them the greatest of all nations, of all people. And grafted us Gentiles in, thank God, praise God, amen? So that's the story, Jonah, David, Solomon, lust, being part of God's covenantal promises despite their failures. David murdered a good man. What about Saul, the history of Saul murdering Stephen, and yet God had a plan. God's patience and love of Peter, because even in the midst of his pride. So, as we end our sermon, as we go into a time inviting the band to come up, God is our shepherd. God is the great shepherd. He's the one that has, we've seen his enduring, amazing, incredible love. And so, folks, why do we love? Why do we try to love well and change and grow in love? Why do we take on verse 13, verse 7, in every marriage, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things? Because we've seen it lived out with a great shepherd who always points us. And despite our failures and our mistakes, we know that God has tolerated a lot in the history of God's people. And yet he still loves us. Amen? So we point to that, and I say to you, what about God's enduring, patient love for you? What are some of the biggest mistakes you've made, yet you have found it refreshing that Jesus offers you, as well as myself, grace? As we end our time, I remind you, as we began this entire sermon, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. For I am with you. I am with you always to the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that, believer? God is always with you. His enduring love. We can sit here and read Psalms 136 and say it over and over and over. His enduring love. We already forgot. We've got to go back and read Psalms 136. But God's enduring love is for us forever. Many stories in the Bible point to that truth. I hope you believe that today. Let's go into a time of prayer. Respond however you feel led. There will be people up here to pray with you. I'll be down here to pray with you. However you need to respond. But don't ever forget, despite any circumstances that are going on, despite the circumstances in our country, despite the circumstances that are going on in Syria and around the world, for believers, God's enduring love never changes. And he will always be with us until the very end. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your demonstration of such love. What we know about you, God, is not just words, it is true. It is truth. And God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, God, that you have chosen us, God, to be your people, that you lavish your love on. I pray that none of us would let circumstances change our minds about who you are as our good shepherd. We praise you willingly. We praise you because of who you are. The God who has shown so much love. We thank you. We praise you. It's your name we pray. Amen.